Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Rink Rat Report podcast. I guess this is the last episode before the last episode of this regular season, because next week, April 17th, is the last game of the regular season. Playoff starts April 20th, so we are 10 days out. It is looking more and more like the Leafs are going to be playing Florida, as always, joined by my co-host, Jason.
How's it going? It's the semi-final episode. Is that what it is? Is it the cliffhanger episode?
Yeah,
the one where
the regular
it's like
season.
Of the regular season. Hopefully we don't. Hopefully there's enough games between the next time we record, no, and then
we're definitely gonna have to do a playoff.
We're also gonna record after every episode, most likely. But yeah, anyways, regardless of that, whatever. Semi-final. We're gonna leave this one off with a cliffhanger, just like every good series does for their second last episode of the season. So. I don't know what it is yet, so I'm gonna have to come up with that on the spot. But anyways, excited to get into things.
All right, so we're gonna get into a bit of the lines as they change and as they finally come into form as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. We're gonna take a look at the current playoff situation. I think like the Leafs are kind of locked into third in the Atlantic there. There's 6 points up on Tampa Bay. There's only 4 games left in the season. They are 3 points back of Florida with a game in hand on them, though. So you cut that down to 1 point.
And they play Florida too.
They play Florida too, right? Tampa. It's not the easiest end to the season. I mean, the last 4 games are the Devils again, who the Leafs just saw, the Red Wings, the Panthers, and then the Lightning. So, like, the Red Wings are going to be hungry. The Devils are dead. They're totally dead. That they are an ugly team to be watching right now. But the Panthers and Lightning are, you know, those are two playoff teams. Those are two very good teams, I will say that. So, before we get into all that, I want to give a shout-out to our friends over at Manscaped. This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below the waist grooming. Clear out the winter bush with the Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your season and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Oh my God, we've done this. I've done this ad read 5 times and I can't believe I'm skipping lines now of all times. I'm getting lazy here. Anyways, 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com, promo code RINKRAT. If you are planning on training or running or doing a triathlon, Manscaped promo code RINKRAT to clear all that out, because apparently you need that. Someone told me someone was running a triathlon, an Ironman in Texas, and they were, you know, they were trimmed all the way through, they said. And I said, go fuck yourself, because they didn't use Manscaped, so they look like shit.
I'm sure it did, but also you got to remember the aerodynamics are key there, so you got to be nice and smooth all over to make sure that there's no every little bit of hair. And also, that's weight, too. Weight on your body. Trying to lose weight. Quick way to lose weight, super fast. You might not see reflected on the scale, but if you shave and you have a lot of hair, it's a good quick way to lose weight.
Yeah, if you are If you're like that type of Italian that's just hairier than is that northern or southern or mainly hairier? I don't know. Anyways, there's always like one in two Italians that are just insanely hairy. But anyways, Manscaped promo code RinkRat. So we played a few hockey games. The Leafs clinched the Dubé Bowl. Big round of applause there. The first ever Dubé Bowl claimed by the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime. Jake McCabe, I would say, is the crown jewel of Kyle Dubas' trades in Toronto. Ended it for him. Ended it. And put a small little, like, you know, I don't want to say damper in their playoff hopes because, like, they're still right there. They got a point. But, like, it didn't help that they lost a point. Right? So, well, also, all-time Galaxy brain. I thought this was just Sheldon Keefe that would do this. But Lars Eller, Drew O'Connor, and then Erik Karlsson, 3-on-3 overtime. I mean, I know Sidney Crosby had skate issues, but... like, does Malkin not play for the team still? Why are you going those two? Yeah, you put defensive guys. Yeah, they got to win the draw. Defensive guys, they got stuck out there. We've seen this before with David Kampf. It was funny and it worked like a couple times, and then it just stopped working because, well, it's idiotic, number one. Number two, there are defensive guys out there. Yeah. How did Jake McCabe end up with a breakaway? Off a cycle in zone. Lars Eller blown assignment. That's interesting. Funny how that worked. Put your best players out there and shut up. Unless you're trying to like send them a message for staying out there too long the time before.
Very, very weird time to send them. Like, very weird time to send a message if that was the case. Because it's like, hey, like, playoff hopes on the line. Let's
Drew O'Connor and Lars Eller.
Yeah. I had a little Galaxy Brain tweet here, and I was kind of called out for it. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. The Pittsburgh Penguins game. I wanted the Leafs to lose that game, and I know that sounds crazy right now, but hear me out. If the Penguins won that game, first of all, we're basically locked in where we are. I would prefer to get away than home ice,
Totally, but go on.
I mean, if we were to lose out and Tampa were to win out, I think they would pass us. Correct. But even if they pass us, I'd probably like, it's the same either way for me. It's the same, like having to play Florida, Boston, or New York. It's the same picture for me. If we can end up somehow playing New York, I'd rather play New York, but Florida, Boston, it's the same picture meme. Anyways, I wanted to lose that game because one, I didn't care where, like, didn't really mean much for us in the standings. And I'd rather us have away than home ice. And then also,
playoffs.
Sheldon Keefe doesn't know how to use the last change. Enough of that. We our home versus away record is horrendous, and I need to pull that up later. But in the playoffs, excuse me. But yeah. Anyways, back to that.
Didn't we mention they're on like a 4-game losing streak?
Yeah. In the playoffs? No. I think they have. They're like 8-12, 8-15. I'm gonna have to pull this up right now. So they're 17 games played at home. They're 5-12 since 2019, since Sheldon Keefe became the head coach on home ice. Now, mind you, again, this is a massive tangent. Mind you. Two series, the home ice didn't really like home ice wasn't really accounted for as heavily as it normally would be because no one was in the stands, right? So there's that.
It was about average Scotiabank level,
exactly, right?
So average hockey Twitter joke.
On the road, we're 8-5 over 13 games, so 5-12 versus 8-5. Like, give me tiny sample, but yeah. Anyways,
that's such a joke. Oh my god.
So
that's horrendous.
That's why I want the.
You don't want to go into the playoffs on a 5-game losing streak.
Yeah, of course. And that's not what I said. I just want to lose the game to the Pittsburgh because if Pittsburgh won that game, if they had 85 points right now instead of 84, they'd be 2 points back of the New York Islanders. And do you know who the New York Islanders are most likely playing right now as it stands?
Carolina Hurricanes.
They're playing the Carolina Hurricanes. Would it not be the most Schadenfreude like? Great feeling to watch the Pittsburgh Penguins make the playoffs after they traded Jake Guentzel for pennies on the dollar, play the Carolina Hurricanes, who fleeced them for Jake Guentzel for pennies on the dollar, only to get swept by Jake Guentzel and the Hurricanes for pennies on the dollar. That's just something that's just, for me, would be a joy to watch. But maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm putting a bad vibe into the universe of by saying that.
It'd be better to watch Pittsburgh win in that situation. I think that would be funny. No. But I don't know. I don't really care about what other teams are doing. I want the Leafs to win. Are you kidding
That's
me?
True. That's so, true.
A back-to-back win. That was massive. They didn't have their best game against Pittsburgh. The calls were kind of weird in that one. Weird both ways. Missed calls. Too easily called. Like the refs were just a mess in that
all
one.
Over the place.
They're blowing the whistle dead. Sidney Crosby hitting Matthews. The thing is with that one, everyone's like, the two best players in the world are on the ice together, face down. That whistle was so quick. They collided and then it was beep whistle. How do you know they're injured? And the puck's going the other way for the Leafs. Everyone, they were down. Matthews was injured. You don't know that. They didn't give them any time to get up. But yeah, that tweet along with calling Sidney Crosby, Sidney Crosby, which is just like a 3 out of 10 creativity there. That sent not only, like, it wasn't mainly Penguins fans. Habs fans were going after me on that one. Like, what? I don't know. People are weird. Those were my takeaways from the game. Just everyone shut up. I'm just
everyone's,
a joke.
Everyone's kind of crazy.
Everyone just shut the hell up.
Chill.
That was my takeaway from that one.
But yeah.
Yeah. Samsonov, decent game. Just prime swimming around out there, but played pretty well. I think he was a massive reason why it was tied going into overtime like it was.
Yeah, right? No. Same takeaways from that the game here. Like, it was more so just I was shocked that we were able to survive with only two goals against after, what was it, 6-7 power plays throughout the game. And only
Pittsburgh's
fours. It was
power
five.
Play is awful.
That's true.
It was
That's
one
true.
Of five, I think.
But
Pittsburgh
power
play is awful.
No, I thought the team looked good, and there's like an overarching theme that I want to touch on later in the episode that I think is like really, really connecting here. I think the biggest thing for us is that we're really coming into form. Playing style wise. We'll touch on the lines later. But yeah, like I think that was kind of evident throughout the three games played this week, the Habs game, the Penguins game, and then the Devils game. Good showing on the first half of the back-to-back, though, for the Penguins game.
Yeah, the Habs game, they didn't start very well. It was kind of wasn't great. But then once the ball got rolling and once Ryan Reeves, I'll get into that in a second. And then they scored after that, too. The ball got rolling in the second period. And it could not be stopped. They beat the hell out of the Habs in that second period, and that's all they really needed in that one. But I did like the Devils game a lot more this time around than last. Obviously, Jack Hughes makes a massive difference. Like a lot of scoring chances in this one, a lot of side to side. I think Jake Allen might lead the league in accidental saves where he doesn't know where the puck is and it just hits him. And he's just kind of looking around because that happened a couple times there. But I really like the offensive generation from this one because they all in the Devils game specifically, because they also limited the number of mistakes they made the other way. I mean, Joseph Woll didn't have much in front of him really. And Jake Allen had a really, really tough game. I thought like I looked at all four lines and you look at line one with Matthews. Okay, Domi had two assists, two great setups. Matthews had a couple other chances in there as well. Bertuzzi had a goal, the empty net goal as well. You look at line two where Nylander was really, really buzzing out there. Tavares had a really, really good chance where Jake Allen was just down, out, logo facing the ice, and he was able to glove it somehow. Mitch Marner had a great setup in there too. And then you look at the third line, Pontus Holmberg had a breakaway in there, a couple good rush chances from the Leafs, which is something that I thought was missing from the last game against the Devils. There was no pad jamming in this one. And then Matthew Nyes on the fourth line, I thought he made some errors in this one, but they were kind of minimal and they were minuscule when you look at how many chances he was able to generate off of turnovers and whatever. Like, I know the Devils are, they're going 1-2-3 Cancun right now. They're dead. They're out. Their best player is getting shoulder surgery. But I really think the Leafs hammered them this one and didn't get away from themselves and didn't get ahead of themselves when they were down 2-1, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, that's a good point there. And one thing I wanted to touch on too was the Matthew Nyes. Like, again, I'm just more thinking of like he was really good in this game, but also like just over the past couple of days and past couple of weeks, he's really come into his own. Again, being off that top line.
Pittsburgh too.
Yeah, and it's like being off that top line, it's almost like a challenge. It's like, okay, he can kind of not sulk about it, but like there's ways you could respond to it that could happen negatively, right? You mm-hmm. were just on the first line with their two best players. Now you're on the third line, sometimes getting fourth line shifts, and it's not a knock on his ability. It's just, if anything, it's just a chance for him to kind of get more space and play against easier competition. And he's kind of grabbed that and taken a hold of that. He's done really well generating chances. Like you said, he's seemed more confident on the puck. He's drawing so many more penalties. Like, I don't know if that's just a recency bias thing, mm-hmm. but I feel like he's just, he did draw a couple penalties. I think it was in the Devils game.
Drew one or two. One or two. He took and then, one. Yeah. Montreal, he also scored. Let's not forget about that one too. He's right in front of the net.
Yeah, he's already at 30. I think he's at 35 points on the year. Like, he's doing well.
He's doing more in front of the net. Yeah, he's doing more in front of the net too, which I really like. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's still learning. He's still young. He's still growing. But, like, we thought that he was going to, you know, like, I think the expectations were really high at the beginning of the year because he had played with Matthews Marner the year before and because mm-hmm. he has good physical abilities. But he's still growing and rounding out his game, and he's looking good. But I really like what you meant in terms of what you said earlier in terms of players are really coming into their own. Look mm-hmm. at first quarter of the year or even first half. Some guys were getting first half of the year. Look at Bertuzzi, what the public opinion was on him. Look at the public opinion of Domi, what was him? What was Simone Benoit being relied upon for? Was Pontus Holmberg was barely even with the team the first half of the year. Matthew Nyes at one point had one goal in his last 15 games or something like that. Like, that was insane. I'm trying to think of someone else. There's a lot. Bobby McMahon was supposed to be a healthy scratch if it wasn't for the flu bug going through the Leafs. And then now he's been getting on the board more consistently as well and generating chances game after game, which I'll get into why I think that is, why a big part of that is in a second. But just listen to all the guys I just listed off who are having way better or are finding, like, the puck's dropping for them. The chances are dropping for them now, whereas the first half of the year they weren't. And, you know, spirits are good in Leafland as a result.
Yeah, and I think you forgot to mention one of the biggest ones, Ryan Reeves. Like, he...
Massive.
The worst player in the NHL, worst forward in the NHL, going to crater
worst
this
contract
team
in history, worst some contract in history.
I mean, 3 years, 1.3 mil. Careful. You can't, like, if only you could bury that. No, like,
did you catch the interview at why he said as to why? Treated why, the when he was out with an injury.
Yeah.
He treated that as a mini training camp. He said he was doing 2-a-days. He was doing 3-a-days. He was trying to get back into the line because he knew he was toast if he didn't. And he looks a lot better. The funniest stat line, an interesting stat line or funny stat line, I don't know what you want to say. I tweeted it, but Ryan Reeves, like the Corsi for, Corsi against, which is shot attempts, whether that's blocked shots, missed shots on net, that all goes into Corsi. So shot attempts for and against, which kind of signals where was the puck on the ice when you were on the ice. Ryan Reeves had when he was on the ice, the Leafs had 3 shot attempts for, 13 against. The number of shots on net,
I saw that,
when he was on the ice, 3 for the Leafs, 0 for the Habs. 11 blocked shots by him and his 3 by him, 8 by his teammates, and 2 missed shots from the Canadians in that one. I've never seen like a drastic difference in shots on goal percentage versus Corsi for percentage in my life.
Yeah,
I thought that was funny.
No, yeah, that was jokes. It's like, hey,
and he beat the hell out of Weird Al Yankovic there. That was that was crazy. If the Leafs went on to lose after that fight, oh my, because he poked the bear. You don't poke the bear. Don't see off the face off. He was like, all right.
He was the one who wanted to do it. It's crazy. Like,
no, Reeves wanted to do it. In front of the Montreal bench, yelled at all of them.
Yeah, good for Pezzetta also for taking that on. The best was the people crying, like, if Arvid Žeko was in the lineup, Ryan Reeves wouldn't have done anything. Like, shut up.
What about last George time Lola. When Art Bergeco was in the lineup? Bro, he's an AHL player. That guy sucks. He's not gonna play for your team anymore. There's a reason he's not playing. Like, he sucks. Like, sorry. Like, let's just be real.
I wouldn't go that. It was George Laroque that was saying that too, I saw George Laroque tweet it. He was quiet. Brian Reeves was quiet last time Arbor Jack Eye was in the lineup. Okay.
What happened with Jack Eye versus
Bobby McMahon? Wasn't a fight, but Bobby McMahon turnstiled him 3 times. Like, Jack Eye was flat on the ice a couple of those times, and Bobby McMahon was past him 2-on-1 the other way.
Yeah.
Like, sure, put Jack Eye back in. I would welcome that. But yeah, that Montreal game was just like, again, Montreal's not a very good team. We're not Stanley Cup. Not victory lapping it. But oh my God, there's just something about the Toronto Maple Leafs going into the Bell Center, beating the hell out of them, beating them on the scoreboard, and putting together a pretty decent game, I would say.
It's a good feeling.
It's cinema. It was beautiful to watch. But yeah, that was the most fun game this week. The Devils game was good. I thought they played well there. The Penguins game, you know. Thank God the Penguins don't finish very well, and that's why they're in the position that they are in. But Alex Nedeljkovic, good to see him have a real good comeback season. He really needed that. So I think we went through every single game there in differing details, we'll call it. But yeah, because the last time we talked was the Lightning game. So yeah,
right after the Lightning game. Spirits were a little different there, but yeah, good bounce back week.
Pretty good bounce back. I mean, 2 non-playoff teams, a bubble playoff team. So a differing level of competition there, but definitely a solid week, I would say. I don't see any reason why not to say that.
Nope, I would agree with that.
Shall we get into the lines?
Yeah, let's do it. But before we do, I just want to quickly give a shout out to our sponsors over at DraftKings Sportsbook. We know the hockey game moves fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Unfortunately, we've been tracking the heart conversation here, the odds for it. Seems like it's pretty much locked in with McKinnon at -475. He just scored a hat trick. I think it was last night or 2 nights ago. I didn't realize that he's at 51 goals now. He's close to 100 assists. I think he has 80 assists, 134 points. It's at the point now where it feels like it's a lock for McKinnon. So we're going to flip over and we're not going to talk about the Hart odds. If you're interested though, Austin Matthews is at 22-1. We're going to flip over and we're going to discuss the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup. 14-1 right now. And again, I think I said this a couple weeks ago when the Hart awards were taken off the board. I think this is the highest it's been in a long, long, long time. At any point really in the season, 14-1 for the Leafs to win the Stanley Cup. Hasn't really budged all year. It's been around that 14-1 range. Again, they're going to be underdogs going up against Florida. So if they play Florida, they're going to be underdogs with whoever they play, realistically. But yeah, 14-1. If you like it, it's on DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. cdkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Form, lines, let's get into it.
Before I say anything, happy birthday, Stuart Mills. I missed it. It was on Friday, and I know he listens.
Oh, happy birthday, Stu. Big fan of the show. Appreciate you.
Yes. Big 2-7, I guess. Wow.
Yeah, 2-7.
Sorry to give that personal information out. Anyways, let's get into the lines. Yeah, I was just opening DraftKings right now. Oh, my God. I'm losing so many. Like, John Tavares is smoking me again with these goals, these goal droughts. He's like, 2 games in a row, nothing. Do I double down next game? Nylander, nothing either because it got taken away. That was
tough. That's a tough pill to swallow.
That is a very tough one. He passed on a very good opportunity as well, which pissed me off too.
Just as a general conversation, not financial advice, not betting advice. You'd think
don't
that
bet
maybe
on the Ottawa Senators because they suck. They're a fraud organization.
I would have,
and their pissy fan base got really mad when someone else put the puck in the net when it was empty. Was that what you were gonna say?
No,
that was really funny, but.
No, I was going to say John Tavares just with the line, and this kind of gets into the lines inadvertently kind of, but him being with Marner and McMahon now, I know he was with McMahon before, but like usually Keith likes to match Marner with the other team's best offensive line. Are we going to see maybe the odds haven't caught up yet on John Tavares to score a goal? Maybe it's too short right now because in Sheldon Keefe's mind, the goal of this line is to be shut down more so than offensive scoring potential.
So one thing on that, did you notice what they did last game?
No. I don't know.
4 minutes. 4 minutes he put together. Nylander, Tavares,
I didn't notice Marner. Yeah.
Several times. Oh. So I thought that was interesting. However, the zone starts mainly, like the defensive zone starts, went to David Kampf's line again, which I think we're going to continue to see that pattern. I didn't exactly look at the competition and who was matched up against who, but I did catch that 4 minutes, they shuffled them around a little bit, and it resulted in a few scoring chances. So I thought that was quite interesting.
So the biggest thing for me with regards to that was in the Pittsburgh Penguins game. I noticed this. Excuse me. I'm just trying to find this. Where is it? William Nylander. Nylander played 16 minutes and 30 seconds in that
in the
Pittsburgh Penguins game. All situations.
That's too low.
And that's also including that he plays on the penalty kill, which we had a lot of, right? So it's not like something where it was like the special teams took it away from him. And I think that was a conscious
giving
effort.
It more so back to Marner, too.
That's true.
A little bit.
That's true. But I think they made a conscious effort in the Devils game to get him more ice time, 19:33. 3 more minutes
total.
So I good on you to notice that. And I think that's like that was definitely like a conscious effort, I think, from the coaching staff to say, hey, maybe we messed up here. Didn't give Nylander his minutes. Let's give him a couple more minutes.
I think it's something they really need to do. I mean,
absolutely. Nylander's,
they're only putting him 16 minutes, you know, in the playoffs. I think that's a complete travesty right there. And against the Devils, I thought he was all over it. Unfortunately, his goal got taken back, but I thought he had more than a few good setups, a couple good shots here and there. I thought he had a pretty good game in that one. Mitch Marner was he's been noticeable since he's come back. The number one thing that I've noticed, the player was out for an extended period of time, right? So you have that idea of what the team looks like without them. The one thing that I was like, wow, offensive aside from Mitch Marner, was the number of takeaways in the defensive zone that he had. I thought that was exceptional. And then on top of that, there was a play. It was actually, brace yourself, it was Nylander off the rush to Simone Benoit for a grade A chance.
That was nuts, yeah.
And that was off of a Marner blocked shot too. So just that element that he brings in the defensive zone is fantastic. And it's emphasized it because he's been out and now you're watching the Leafs with him back in. So I was really, really happy to see that. I'm trying to find, I still can't find it. Anyways, my phone's not working very well. No, the website I'm looking at doesn't load very well. But
so we were getting into lines though.
And I think we should just quickly recap, just if in case you've been out of the loop for a bit or you've been watching the games, haven't really been like too attentive on who's playing with who. It's funny because 2 weeks ago we were like, when Marner comes back, how are they going to deploy this? What are they going to do? And it feels like since then it's been like that first line of Matthews, Domi, and Bertuzzi has just been absolutely lights out, which was just fantastic. Second line, like we talked about, was Marner, Tavares, McMahon. Third line, Robertson, Holmberg, Nylander, which is a very interesting line that we'll talk. Mm-hmm. We'll probably talk a little bit more about in a bit. And then fourth line, Nyes, Kampf, Gregor, /Reeves.
Quite literally, I think it was like this is just speculation, but I was thinking that Keith was probably ready to put Matthews, Marner back together. I just think that Bertuzzi, Domi, Matthews line was producing too much offensively to make it stop, kind of thing.
Yeah. And again, like it's just like chances are Bertuzzi was going to play there regardless, but Max Domi has done enough on his own to replicate connection that Marner and Matthews have, right? Like Domi has a sense for where Matthews is on the ice, is able to set him up pretty well. And also just
a little bit too good of a sense of where Matthews is on the ice. Sometimes to a fault. And I mean, I will say this though, that 66th goal that Matthews scored against the Devils last night, like Domi had a pretty good look in front and then he just turns and whips it the other way. But he also can throw some people off. The Bertuzzi goal, where was everyone covering? Everyone was looking at Matthews. And then he faked the shot and right over to Bertuzzi. Beautiful. Really well. They're not without their defensive faults. Let's get real. But they're playing exceptionally offensively.
Yeah. And I think like just in theory, it kind of makes sense. Cause like you said on that Bertuzzi goal, it's like, that's when it was like the aha moment of like, everyone is just covering Austin Matthews here. And it gives Max Domi so much time and space that he's usually not accustomed to when playing on other lines, because everyone is so focused on covering Austin Matthews. And having that time and space for him, he's a completely different player when he has space. He is a completely different player. He can create some space for himself, but when he has the room to breathe and just get his eyes up and look around and scan, he has such great skill and passing ability that like it's perfect for him. It's literally perfect for him. And he can shoot too. Let's not pretend that he's a pure passer. He still has a shot, right? Yeah. He can still rip it a little bit.
Still like a 20 goal.
Yeah.
He scored 20 last year, a few empty netters, but like it's not bad to the extent like he can beat a goaltender with his shot.
Yeah.
Which is actually something to say because some guys really struggle with that.
Yeah. I think his thing is that he just likes to get a little bit too high up on his shot. He doesn't shoot. He's like kind of, you know, I feel like he's hit, what was it, 5 crossbars so far this year, 4 crossbars. We looked at it like
he's hit something like that.
Yeah. He's had a couple crossbars in post. Anyways, yeah, he can score. So, that line just makes sense. I'm excited to see how it looks against like top competition. Not saying that the teams we played weren't top competition, but like against the Tampas and the Floridas, right?
Essentially what you're saying, another look against those Florida teams, because we do get them the last two games of the season. Yes. And it will cement, you know, if we're keeping this line for the playoffs. I mean, I think if like my theory, my thought, just my guess that I have for this is if it looks terrible against Tampa and Florida, we're going right back to Matthews, you know, the usual Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares. Like I have no doubt in my mind about that. But if it holds up, they put together a couple goals, they're a plus at even strength or at 5-on-5, we could see a completely different look going into the playoffs. We haven't seen Matthews apart from Marner or Nylander going into the playoffs since Mike Babcock. And that line was like, I think it was something like Matthews Ennis or something ridiculous like that. I have to go back and check.
I gotta go back. That is disgusting.
It was Matthews Ennis and Brown.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, that was the last time Babcock was coaching the Leafs, because the next year.
No Kapanen on that line, wasn't it?
No, they tried him and they tried Tavares, Marner, and Kapanen, I believe, one year when Nylander was holding out.
Yes.
But Kapanen and just, he was playing his off wing and he's really, really a dumb just hockey player. You see, he's fast. He's just a dumb hockey player. Yeah. Unfortunately. But yeah, that's, I didn't even like prepare that stat. I just off the top of my head, I was like, hang on there. Right mid sentence, I thought that one. So
nuts.
Hopefully they can keep it going because they are really playing well. They've been playing well now for a good sample size. So I think that'll be the most effective thing going up against Florida, because I was taking a peek. I don't know if I'm getting too far ahead of myself right now. I was taking a peek at Florida's roster, right? And I'll try to pull it up right now. But in terms of their depth, it's a lot of, like, I looked at it, I'm like, oh, like, that's pretty good depth. Not so much scoring depth. Mm-hmm. There's a reason they're 25th in goals for at 5-on-5. There's a reason. Because it's a lot of names you recognize. It's not a lot of very productive names, though, when you look at it. Like, their second line center, Sam Bennett, has 20 points at 5-on-5 this year in 66 yeah. games.
Just
or 23, maybe something like that.
They right? do have Carter Verhaeghe, who's like not listed with, I don't know if it depends where you're looking. He's not like listed.
He's injured right now. That's correct.
He's injured right now, but he's going to be back for the playoffs, right? But no, I agree with you in the sense that, like, if you look at their bottom six of Cousins, Stenlin, Lomberg, Rodriguez, Lindell, Lestrina, they're not like goal scorers per se. They're more so kind of just cardio. Yeah. Like just not.
Ooh, cardio.
No, no. I'm not gonna go as far as that's
bulletin board.
I'm not gonna go.
Don't say that. I will say Tarasenko is fitting pretty well in there. Okpozo's not on the lineup, I noticed. I don't know what's going on with him. I didn't do too much research into this. But like, you look at it, Evan Rodriguez is at 1.48 points per 60. That's not exceptional. It's kind of where he's not a good finisher, plain and simple. He's fast. He hits a lot in the playoffs only. But like, on top of that, Anton Lundell, 1.37. Atu Lehtinen, 1.2 points per 60. Nick Cousins, 0.93. Like that. Kevin Stenlin's on their fourth line, 0.8. Like, it's not that great, I would say, really. And on top of that, like, I don't know, they're not getting a whole ton of production from their defense, I would say. But again, that's 5-on-5. Like, to compare it to the Toronto Maple Leafs in terms of their
gotta be careful
5-on-5 production, like, I know. Like, I mentioned with it was Bennett was at 1.6. Like, Cal Yarncroft's not having a great season. He's at 1.56 points per 60. And he's 11th on the Leafs right now. Right? Like, Pontus Holmberg's at 1.74. Right? Like, you know, that's the comparison right there. And that's what brings up my point with Matthew Knies on the fourth line. Having that, like, I don't think he'll necessarily stay there, but just what I saw against New Jersey, it really, really intrigued me. And you don't want to be playing a player less just because it makes a good matchup. Mm-hmm. You want your good players to be playing the most that they can, obviously. But if you could have a guy, if Matthew Knies is pushed down to the fourth line, it's not horrible per se, because, like, as I just mentioned, Florida's fourth line is having a real Florida's depth is having a really tough time scoring this season. If Matthew Knies can match up against some of those guys with, like, I know he's not the speediest, but he's got some speed to his game. I think that could cause some matchup issues for Florida. Could it not?
For sure. I agree with that. Like, if you even just look at their fourth line, if, like, I assume it's going to be Cousins, Stenlin, and Lomberg, like, their fourth line is more so big than anything else. Like, they use that fourth line for size, because it's either Cousins or Gajewicz.
They're not again, big. Those guys hit a lot.
Stenlin's
massive.
Like, massive. Yeah.
And Cousins isn't very big.
Not Cousins, but more so Gajewicz and
Gajewicz is a unit. That's correct.
Yeah, 6'2", and then Lomberg, not big, but he's like he's thick, right? Like he's not tall, but he's very like, thick. He's like heavy, you know. He's like
he's yeah. a nutcase out there. I will say that.
So
in an endearing way.
Yeah. but yeah, no, I feel like that's like a great matchup for Matthew Nice mm-hmm. to kind of like dominate that those minutes, like those 5 minutes right. that maybe he'll get against the other team's fourth line. Like, don't know the exact time of matchup they'll get, but that feels like time that you could dominate and win. So yeah, I agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah. So then you have some other questions though, in terms of like just playoffs in general, looking past mm-hmm. Florida, looking at other teams, looking at you're playing in the playoffs against Team X. What do you do with the third line with Pontus Holmberg? Because I feel like Keefe doesn't trust them that much right now. And it's like you put Nylander with them, okay. Like, will that stay? Will that actually work? What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting because, like, what happens when Kalle Järnkrok comes back? Is it just that Nicholas Robertson gets instantly yanked? Is that what it is? Do they feel like?
Yeah, you got to yank him. You put him back in. He'll score. So yeah,
that's the strategy to get a goal every other game is to, or if you're smart, you scratch him the game before the playoffs. So you get if it goes to seven, you get 4 goals in a series from him.
But analytics.
But Kalle Järnkrok, when he comes back, like. Don't know where he'll go, but you got to think that he's definitely going on that third line. Number one, number two, do they even risk playing him center? He hasn't played center at all this year. Has played center in the past. I know if we talked about it a little bit, it might be crazy, but depends what you think of Holmberg. Who do you think is the odd man out for the Leafs when he comes back? Like regardless of position, like obviously position matters, but if you were to say that positions don't matter, who would be the odd man out? And if positions don't matter, is it just kind of Kalle Järnkrok plays the role of a center on the ice, but like William Nylander takes draws on one side and Kalle Järnkrok takes draws on the other side, because we know that that's kind of what they do for faceoffs usually for for guys basically other than David Kampf and John Tavares. They don't, I guess, I don't know, maybe not.
Some teams try to do it, yeah.
We do it sometimes with Nylander. Yeah, so... Now I think about it, I think Nylander and Järnkrok are the same handedness, but anyways, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. there goes that point. But no, like maybe Nylander takes the draws and I don't know. I just can't help but think like Holmberg is your third line center. He's been really good lately and I like his play. Feels like it's a lot to ask of someone this, like for someone who's essentially been a scratch or hasn't played for us for half of the season. A lot to ask for, of him. Coming in basically this late in the season.
Yeah. So you still have Järnkrok adding.
Yeah,
I know. That's where like the team is playing well. Like the top six is clicking. You're getting goals elsewhere. But like my concern is just who you're putting out there when you're up a goal, right? Because we've seen the Leafs blow some leads, a lot of leads this year. A lot of the time, actually able to, you know, make it up, win in shootout, win in overtime, you know, get a 5-1 lead, win 5-4 or 6-4 in the case against the Panthers. But it's just like, who are you going to rely on? Who are you going to lean on when you're up one goal, like 10 minutes left in the third? Because that level of time, you kind of have to run through the entire lineup once. And then when you get down to 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever, like you're putting those shutdown guys out there. We've seen Keith rely a lot on the fourth line recently. Is that a viable option? Do you really want the fourth line going up against Barkov and Reinhart and Tkachuk, right? That's where I have a really big question what he's going to do there. And my answer would just be, you know, Tavares, Matthews, they're not horrible defensively. Yeah. Go. And then roll David Kampf in once in a while kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's my 2 cents on it. Will that happen? I don't know. But one thing, like just thinking of that based off of what I just said, just thinking of this, it is kind of good that we complained about Nylander on the penalty kill. We complained about Matthews on the penalty kill and all that. But it is kind of good that they got all that experience this year. So now you are, they're one slightly better. Yeah, they're slightly better in the defensive zone now.
Yep, that's true.
They are able to kill penalties. If you get into that 4 or 5 minute penalty position, Matthews isn't going to be buried on the bench. That'll be really good. So we went through some growing pains, and now we have an extra little chip to throw down, I would say, in the playoffs. So that's one thing.
Feather in the cap for the boys.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think as it sits right now and as I feel right now, I think the last two games of the season will really shake out what the forward lines are going to be going into the playoffs. I think it'll be a good test. But in terms of utilization, I still have some questions about how that's going to work. Mm-hmm. The defense, I really wonder where they're going to put Joel Edmondson in. That's also going to be, because I feel like they're going to want to put him in. Unfortunately,
if he's healthy, yeah.
Yeah, I still think it's going to be Benoit, but fucking whatever.
I hope not, because that feels like a big mistake, but yeah.
Who are you taking out?
I have no idea, but I just...
I know.
Haven't thought that far ahead, but...
You're taking out Brody, who they play the most?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not taking out Riley for sure, obviously. You're not taking out McCabe for sure, obviously. Like, Timothy Liljegren's coming back. Hopefully he gets a couple games in the regular season before he's done. So he's going to come back, I think, for sure. He's right-handed. They don't have any of those. It's just Joel. I think Benoit's coming up for Joel Edmondson, unfortunately. But
I don't know. I hope not. We'll cross that bridge, though. That means, like, you're not even giving Liljegren a thought, right?
No, Liljegren's going in.
Oh, Liljegren's locked in for
it's
you.
It's Benoit.
Okay. Okay, I see.
It's probably going to be Riley Lyubushkin.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Giordano.
No, he's out.
He's gone.
Riley Lyubushkin.
McCabe.
McCabe on the right side.
With whom?
Possibly Brody on the left side. Or you go McCabe, Liljegren. And then you go Edmondson, Brody on the last pairing. Something of that sort. Or they end up doing Edmondson, Liljegren like they had been doing, right? Mm-hmm. Something of that sort. The one thing I will say that I do like, they're not still debating 11-7, 12-6, 13-5.
Thank God.
That was a nightmare last season. That was a total nightmare, and it threw everyone out of sorts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I think in summation, the last couple games of the season we're really going to start to see, you know, if the Leafs go up, who's getting put in these situations? I think this is going to be a good practice for playoffs. Do you think they rest anyone, actually? Should have thought of that.
That's what I was going to bring up as well, because I have a long going beef with the schedule makers of the NHL. For some reason, they gave us a back-to-back to end the season, which sounds like the stupidest thing on earth. Like, we play 4 games in 6 days to end the season. Like, how do you, like, that should just not be a thing for any team.
Yeah.
Like, let alone a team that is like, was like minus 600 to make the playoffs. Like, I get you have, like, I get the team has the 18th and the 19th to rest, but then they play on the 20th. Like, 4 games in 6 days is like, that's like known as a bad schedule spot. Why the fuck are the Leafs playing 4 games in 6 fucking days? It's stupid. And because we play, like, thank God we don't play Florida before, thank God we play Florida before Tampa, because I think we'd be a lot less inclined to rest guys if we played Florida last, because they'd probably be a lot hinging on that, even though I don't think it matters. But besides the point, like, mm-hmm. I think against Tampa, everyone, it's one of those things where everyone's rested. Same thing last year with Boston. Like, no matter what, I feel like everyone's going to get rested, because 4 games in 6 days is just very, very bad. Like, bad for bad scheduling wise.
Mm-hmm. I wonder though if that last game comes down to home playoff, like, you win, you get home playoff, or you win and you get the chance to get home playoff. if Lakeith is going to do. I feel like rest is coming up, but I don't know against who.
So do I don't know if I remember this correctly, but I feel like there was an opportunity for that against Boston last year, 2 years ago, and we rested everyone regardless. Am I mistaken on that? No, was there a chance to like pass?
Oh, like, it had to do with, yeah, there was something.
Maybe it was like to get first over second.
Boston was resting everyone as well, though. And they just put Nylander out there and
he scored a bunch of goals, but
he torched everyone.
Yeah. Maybe we see a Martin Jones appearance then.
Maybe. I think the back to back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they want to rest Samson off though? Maybe. I wouldn't put it past anyone. Yeah. They are trying to rest the guys a lot.
Well, again, if Samsonov, assuming Samsonov plays like, let's just say the 11th and the 16th, then the next game would be the 20th. That's three starts in 9 days. I guess that's a normal amount of workload for
him. That's not bad at all. That's perfect.
That's not bad at all. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what you aim for. Okay. Interesting.
A lot of humming and hawing this episode because there are still a few things left to fall. There's three guys total still to come back from the injured list. Three, I guess you could call them regulars, left to come off of the injured list. Some matchup / utilization things to kind of iron out there, as well as goalies. Who's going to play when? It's going to be Samsonov to start, but who's going to play when to maximize Samsonov's load management?
We'll call gotta it, always right? manage those loads effectively. And that's also why we mentioned off the top that this would end in a cliffhanger because cliffhanger.
Yeah. I think we'll definitely next week. We have to, we've been questioning.
It's the finale of the season next week.
Exactly. But that'll be, so I guess the things to watch for are Matthews, Bertuzzi, Domi to continue what they've been doing.
Yep.
How much time does Nylander get with Tavares, Bobby McMahon? Or do they actually even stick with that separation of all three guys on three different lines there? As well as when the Leafs are up, who is getting the lion's share of playing time, right?
Yeah.
Some questions left to see. Right.
Also, one more thing I want to throw out there is who do the Leafs, when the other team changes and puts their best players on the ice, who do the Leafs instantly throw out next?
Yes. Can you look that up? Who was like against Crosby? Who played the most against Crosby when they played Pittsburgh?
When they played Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because I think that will really, really help to kind of answer it. I mean, they were at. Yeah. Anyways, Michael Bunting played. It really weird seeing Michael Bunting only wear number 8 in that one, but he had a pretty effective game, I would say, against the Leafs. Him and Max Domi were mixing it up. I thought that was quite funny.
But they were like, they're kind of like the Spider-Man meme, if you think about it.
They are both, rats. I mean, Bunting has like better. Well, actually, no. They have their facial expressions are very different, but both kind of the same. Where Bunting just like. It's always like, what? And Max Domi's always like got this like
the tongue
evil
out.
Little grin on his face with his missing teeth and shit. Just two peas in a pod there.
Love it. So I mean, 8 minutes at 5-on-5, 8 minutes against the Tavares Marner McMahon line and just like 8.5 minutes and then four-ish minutes for the Bertuzzi Domi Matthews line. Then everyone else is kind of like
against Crosby.
Everyone like then it's
8 Nylander minutes played against Tavares.
Yeah, then the other guys had maybe one or two shifts against that line.
That's pretty telling.
That's very telling. That's very telling. I'm also curious to see what.
Interesting. Mitch Marner, the shutdown guy.
He should be. It's something to keep an eye on though moving forward because
will they do it again? So now they're going to New Jersey again, which
makes
it would be Timo Meier. Is Timo Meier, Jesper Bratt kind of there?
I guess. Yeah, maybe I'll check right now and see who they matched up against last time because no Hughes, like you said, was like
I mean, that's like a big, big.
That's their, yeah.
That's their guy.
That's the guy. That is the guy. New Jersey Devils right there. But in terms of the remaining schedule, like pretty tough remaining schedule. The one thing, like a lot of people were kind of, it was not huge, but some people were questioning second half of the season. The Leafs have one of the toughest schedules. How are they going to play? How are they going to look? Well, you people clearly don't watch Toronto Maple Leaf hockey because they only play well against, they only play well when they're not supposed to be playing well. If the Leafs somehow were missing the playoffs by like a wide margin this season, I guarantee they'd rip off like a NHL record amount of wins when they're trying to fail for Macklin Celebrini, because that's just how they work.
Listen, we forget that we were able to do it for Austin Matthews. So,
took a lot.
That's one thing we've done right in the last 10 years.
Yeah. First line, Peter Holland. That was crazy. Who played the most against Meyer?
So it's interesting because I want to like contextualize with like the time on ice for the Devils first, because the Palat, Nosek, Mercer line played the most at 5-on-5. Then it was Holtz, Holla, Meyer, and then their like quote unquote third most played line was Bratt, Heischer, Bowers. So it's like they almost have like a 3-line split, right? With like so
what the hell are they playing for, right?
So so it's kind of interesting. It seems like the Palat line got a lot of the Marner, Tavares, McMahon attention. The Holtz, Holla, Meyer line got a split between Holmberg, Robertson, and Nylander, and McMahon, Tavares, Marner. They played both 4 minutes against them. And then the Bratt, Heischer, Bowers line got the line share against the Matthews, Bertuzzi, Domi line with 8 minutes of that line playing against them, and then pretty much just the fourth line. So it seemed like that was an effort of saying, hey, we're targeting that line, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. It was interesting. This is something that, like, and for those who are listening and you want to check this out, you can head over to Natural Stat Trick. If you go to the games page, day of game, their homepage, naturalstattrick.com, you'll be able to see the Leafs game. You can check it while it's happening. You click into full report, scroll all the way down the bottom. Don't do this on your phone. It will break. You have to do it on a computer. And just look for opposition. So the other team's opposition, let's see, when the Leafs play the Devils again, look at, again, Heischer's opposition, and it'll tell you all the Leafs players and the time on ice they played against them. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool tool to use.
It is. All right. So I think we have everything pretty set out. You have anything else to close it off?
Yeah, everything is set out, but we're just leaving a little bit there to close everything for the finale, season finale.
Exactly. One last thing to close it out. I wanted to talk about this more than the Leafs almost. The playoff race is going crazy in the East right now. It seems like teams don't want to win to get in. As it sits right now, April 10th at
9:36.
The Washington Capitals have the last wild card spot. They have 85 points. They have 4 games remaining. The Pittsburgh Penguins have 84 points. They have 4 games remaining. The Red Wings have 84 points. They have 4 games remaining. The Flyers have pissed away their playoff hopes. They have 83 points with 3 games remaining. And the Islanders are still in this dogfight. They're in third in the Metropolitan. They have 87 points with 4 games remaining. So that means that the Penguins, the Capitals, and the Islanders, like, all within 3 points of each other, 4 games remaining for that third wildcard spot and that last wildcard spot, and then the Red Wings are only playing for that last wildcard spot. Tampa Bay seems to have separated themselves. They're 10 points up on the Capitals. These last 4 games, it's coming right down to the wire. I can't remember the last time that it's been like this, really. I think, when's the last time it's come so far down to the wire like this? I want to say like the year before the Blues won the Cup, that came right down to the last game of the season. What were some other ones? Oh, 6-7 for the Leafs.
The Kings, when they won the cup, weren't they like in a battle? Or am I just misremembering that?
I actually don't remember. I do not remember. You could be right. A lot of people are saying, this is a monumental collapse for the Flyers. They're 1-6-3 in their last 10. They've lost 8 in a row. Like, what other team has done something like this? Well, I'm glad that you ask, because this has been etched in my brain for the last 10 years. This is actually the 10-year anniversary since this has happened. And I'm trying to pull up the exact dates and what happened and everything right now. So I'm filibustering a little bit.
But is this
this happened to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Martin Brodeur, New Jersey Devils.
No, that's 06-07. That's just like poetry in motion, heartbreak, I guess you could call that one. That one was the Leafs needed to win their last game of the season to give themselves a chance. I believe they pulled Andrew Raycroft in that game. It was against the Habs. It was a very back and forth game. They won. And so then the Islanders needed to lose to the Devils. The Devils were already in the playoffs, and the Devils decided to rest Marty Brodeur, and they went with, what's his name? Scott Clemenson. And the Islanders had Wade Dublovich at the time, who was just this, to me, I can't remember. Wade Dublovich, you know, I had the least thing up that I was looking for. Wade Dublovich, you don't remember the name because that is a real name. He played 43 NHL games. That year for the Islanders, went on a heater. He had 17 games started. He had a .919 save percentage. Like 06-07, that's the reason that the Leafs didn't get into the playoffs. It was because Wade Dublovich just went on this random heater. The Islanders actually beat the Leafs 5-1 April 5th. It was 5-2, I guess. And Dublovich went on a four-game win streak, .934 save percentage. Like, just April 3rd, April 5th, April 7th, April 8th. DiPietro got injured, and Wade Dublovich, who was actually technically, his record was like 0-4 before that. No, 0-1, because he had no decisions there, but... Yeah. Anyways, that game went to a shootout. New Jersey scored like 1 second left to put it to an overtime that went to a shootout. And Scott Clemenson couldn't pull us through. And then the Leafs signed Scott Clemenson as a third goalie the next season, which was kind of funny. But no, I'm not talking about that one, that heartbreak. 10-year anniversary, Jason. The 10-year anniversary of the 13-14 disappointing Toronto Maple Leafs, who were coming off the 12-13, they made the playoffs for the first time since the lockout. Everything is going swimmingly. March 16th, they lose to the Capitals. Good team. Washington Capitals. Actually, Capitals missed the playoffs that year. Anyways, still good team. They lost 4-2. Okay, no biggie. March 18th, the Leafs lost 3-2 to the Red Wings in regulation. Okay, two games in a row. Still in a playoff spot, whatever. They then lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning on the 19th, 5-3. The Canadiens, 4-3. All in regulation. New Jersey, 3-2 in regulation. The Blues, 5-3 in regulation. The Flyers, 4-2 in regulation. The Red Wings, 4-2 in regulation. They then won two in a row. So it was like, okay, outside chance. And then they lost four in a row right after that. And they drafted William Nylander as a result. So... yeah, the Toronto Maple Leafs went 2-11-0 to end the season.
That's crazy. That's terrible.
They were in a playoff spot. They were looking sixth in the East, and they just – the bottom fell out. Bernier got injured. They got into that whole feud, James Reimer and Randy Carlyle, because Randy Carlyle is like – against the Devils, too. I still remember that one. How did James Reimer play? He was okay. And Reimer's like, yeah, I thought I played good. Okay, guys, can someone...
We're on the same team here. Please. Please.
I know. Please. And then Carlisle's like, I was the media. Anyways. Yeah, 10-year anniversary of that. I don't know if you remember that season, but that was piss poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun to bring up that trauma. Anyways, I think that covers everything. So Flyers are the kind of the 13-14 Leafs in a roundabout-ish way, is what I'm saying. You have anything else?
That's it for me.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening.